Hallelujah. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I have to start off this morning by following up on an announcement.
Amen.
There's salvation in this place this morning.
Hallelujah.
Deliverance. Is here.
Right here.
Healing
mm-hmm.
is in this place.
Amen.
Breakthrough. 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 Uncommon. Grace engendered. The life of God. Bringing that to bear today. Let's be set. Be conscious of his presence here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. To have your way, Lord.
Have your way, Lord. That's right. Have your way. Your way. Your way.
Thank you for freedom.
Thank you.
I love you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We've been on a series titled Sure Foundation. And today I want to repurpose to, as best possible, go slow. Because there are certain things I'm going to say and share this morning that my heart is that we get it. And that we really, really get it.
Yes.
And so I may have titled this, as an aside, Straight Talk. But I didn't, because I wasn't particularly led in that way. But there are things that I'm going to be bringing up. And I just want us, with our hearts, to be open to receive truth. Sure Foundation, we started in the first installment by considering foundations, and we looked at the truth and the fact that foundations are not assumed. You don't assume a foundation and start, as it were, for example, building, but rather you have to do what? You lay the foundation. And we saw and were instructed and now know that all the foundation can no man lay than that which is already laid. Who is what?
Jesus.
Christ Jesus. So Jesus is the foundation. And the basis of how that laying takes place is believing, hearing, believing, accepting, receiving the gospel as it concerns him, his death and resurrection, glorious ascension, laid foundation in our lives. Sure, firm, Jesus Christ in you. In the second installment, we considered knowing him. He takes knowing, that is knowing God, and how that at the base of it all, the reason, the way we can say we know God and are known of God is based on his Spirit who now indwells you, who now indwells me, who now indwells us. That's the knowing. Shared life, shared spirit, oneness, having been joined unto the Lord, being therefore one with him. That's the knowing. And on top of that knowing, we shared how that is important to grow in that knowing of Abba himself. Not just knowing about him, but knowing him in an intimate way that then has a bearing in the experiential. That is knowing him experientially, knowing him in your life through and through, in your walk. Having fellowship, having communion, communion with the Father of spirits based on shared kinship with him. He that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. And last week, we considered the reality called new, and I'm going to get into some of that by way of synopsis if I can. But today, we're going to be continuing along the same lines. The reality called new, -, breaking free. Breaking free. And then you can have the ellipses or the three dots after, just signifying that there's more. Breaking free. A price was paid in full. And it was for cause. And he himself said it expressly. He whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. And we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Romans, we were at Romans last week. Romans in chapter 5, verse 17. Says, for if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more, it says, much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Much more, those who receive an abundance of grace. Friends, in that portion, reigning in life does not touch on, just as it were, having the things of life. Living the good life in general parlance. Because I've got this, I'm this, I'm this is my position, this is my posture, this is my status, this is who I am and all I have and what. It's not about that in the first degree. Because the word life there actually speaks and connotes Zoe or Z-O-E. It speaks of a particular kind of life, a specific kind of life, no ordinary life, divine life. And so the key to really walking freely, and as far as the things, remember I've said over the course of these series, it's not about things, it's about God. And Pastor Jim said this morning, you have God, then the other things do what? Of necessity, they do what? They follow, because it's a package. So we don't get to major in the minor by chasing the things. No, we focus our hearts, we zone our hearts in on God himself. We pay attention to him. We give reverence to him. We choose to fellowship with him. We choose to commune with him. We choose to interrelate, interact in communion, sweet communion with him. And all these other things are added. Is much more those who receive an abundance of grace. And so what are these things that we now have that relate with this life, this eternal life? We looked at the abundance of grace. It's because it's by grace that we are saved. It's not something that, none of works. It's not something that we could do or achieve to attain onto that. It's by grace. What a blessedness. Because I certainly couldn't do that, save myself or be good enough or be transformed. Intrinsically, because it's not about behavior modification. Some can purpose to do that in certain cultures, Eastern cultures, and even here where
certain people can purpose to say, okay, I used to do X and I'm no longer going to do X. It's not just about the change in that way. That is implicated, but the truth is it speaks about a change within first. You come in into contact with divine life, having the life, the nature, the spirit of the living God dwelling within you. Great grace. And in that, you receive the gift of righteousness. How that you're now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you've been made righteous. Wow. Not on the basis of what you did, will do, or can contemplate doing, but based on what he did and then freely gave to you. And we were not. We looked at Romans 5, 1 downwards. So many things. Time will not permit me to list off the blessedness that is ours on the basis of the fact that we are now God's children. Having been justified by faith, you have peace with God. Justified. Adjudged not guilty. So there's no penalty. And so you're free. He says, free, you go. All that stood against you, counted against you, done away with, doesn't count, doesn't come into contemplation, because now you're now hidden in Christ Jesus himself, who dwells within. I judged not guilty. It says of you that you will not come into what? Judgment. You have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the selfsame one by whom we now have access. By faith, access to God. By faith. In this grace, now you now stand on grace. Grace is the platform. Grace is the platform. Grace is the basis. That is intrinsic in the foundation. It's based on grace. It's by grace through faith in Jesus. Man, such bounty. Basis of this, it says you rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So that means that your lot and portion as a believer right now then is what? Is what? Is rejoicing. Constant thanksgiving to God. Rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. And then it goes on to talk about the hope. It says this hope does not what? Does not disappoint. It says this hope does not make ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad where? In your hearts. How? By his Spirit, whom he has what? Given to you, lavished on you, bestowed on you. That simply means not because Holy Ghost is some sort of liquid or whatnot. No, but it's talking about the fullness. It's descriptive of the fullness which you now have in him. So that of a truth, of his fullness, you have received. We have all received. And I can go on and on and on in contemplating and considering the nature called new. If I can put it another way, in bringing this home this today, I'm closing out on this series then. In essence, the things that we've looked at, the things we've considered about the new creation, that attach to the new creation, the realities which have to do with the new creation, in considering these, it's good for us to note that at the same time, all these things, actually, in essence, I'm speaking to our what? True identity. Our new identity. Who you are in Christ Jesus and who Christ is where? In you. The real you. The new creation. Therefore, your foundation is as good as your identity. That's who you are. It's Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in you. I went on to say something that bears touching on again today and which will form the template for this this part. I went on to talk about the things that accompany soteria, or the things that accompany salvation, which is, in synopsis, all of these things I've mentioned: being righteous, you're justified, you know, you have peace with God, and access, and safety, preservation, and God's love poured up, and abundance, and all of that stuff, and all the great stuff that comes with salvation. I also mentioned how that, based on faith in Jesus, in that moment when you believe, something happened to you. You were what? Washed. You were what? Sanctified. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 6, 11, if you will. So something happened to you. Something happened to me. You were washed. You were sanctified, that is, set apart unto God. You were what? You were what? Made holy. Someone say holy.
Holy.
Someone said, did he just say that? Yes. Yes, I did. And as we think about this, as we ponder this, it ought not to sound strange. I'm beseeching, stating today that it is a good thing that we be established in the truth of who we are based on what Christ Jesus did. Hebrews 10:14. Go on to speak about, based on his will, the will of Christ in coming, in setting aside the law, in coming, and what he did in the price paid, by the which will we are sanctified by the giving of his body, the body of Jesus, in him dying, was sanctified, set apart. By one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified, them that are set apart. You're holy. Wherefore, holy brethren. Let me do an aside this morning, and I've not done this through the series, so you work with me here, okay? All right. And it's okay. Let's do something. Can you turn to someone sitting by you? Turn to the person sitting by you and say to that individual, boldly and with conviction. There's reason for this morning. Let's break some things. Some things off. Say to the individual with boldness, I am holy. I am righteous. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That came out from what? From what? From where? From your mouth. And that's truth. And can I say this? Let me say this. It's not based on, remember what I said? It's not based on, what you do or don't do in the first instance. Friends, the way to get it is to realize that something happened within. God did something. There's no way you could have come into tandem with him. There's no way you could have come into union with him. There's no way you could have come into oneness with him without first being transformed, changed from within, made new, made holy, because God is holy. We can't trivialize these things. We can't trivialize him. So in the first instance, realize he made you holy. And because you're holy, because your heart comes to know this, and we'll see this as we go on, because your heart gets established in this, then you can then speak of doing what? Walking that way. Living that way. Manifesting that way. And the same goes for every blessing that attaches or that is yours based on salvation. It's from within. You work it out. You give expression to the nature and the life of God within. Sometimes how do they make that? The cart before the horse, or whatever it is. The horse before the cat, whatever it is. Know first that something happened to me. He made me holy. so then I can walk that way. Can I say something to you? Why I'm stressing this morning . We are free. But sometimes in our walk, it looks like it's a struggle. In saying what we just said a few minutes ago, in saying what you said about you, for some that may have sounded very strange or odd or just like, you know, it's just out there. But can we come to terms and grasp our reality based on what God said and what God did and who He's made us? So He's made you a saint already because of what He did and who He is in you. The perfect spirit within. We talked about that. The new creation. That's who you are. That's who you are. Not based on performance, not based on sending codes or things that you try and aspire to and gain approbation or gain approval in God's sight based on what you're doing. Know who you are. Walk it out. Live it out. If we are going to walk in the implications of the gospel, if we are going to walk in the implications of the gospel as it concerns our sure foundation, our firm foundation, our true identity, our real identity, our new identity, if we're going to walk in the full implications of the gospel based on what God has given to us, then we have to be married to the understanding that you am a new what? Creation, and what? The old has passed away. That the old man is dead. That the old man is dead and buried. Done away with. I'm not saying this, and we're going to look at scriptures because I don't want it to seem like I'm saying this. This is what the enemy does to try and perpetuate, keep us bound, even though we are free. Even though we are free. If he can somehow get it into your mind and your understanding, oh, guess what? You're a dual individual. You have dual nature. Oh, there's old and there's new. So when I get into some things or some activity or some faulty thinking, then I'm likely to say, oh, it's okay. I can't help it. I have a dual nature. I have the old man and the new man, and it's a struggle every day. Or the old man arrives, wakes up every morning and says, ha ha, I'm here. Now I'm going to torment you. No. No. There's none of that. God's word doesn't reveal that. And I share what that is. But it's not about there's another nature struggling there and just arising when he wishes and wills. The enemy wants you. This is how part of his modus operandi in stealing. Because the thief comes not for what? To steal, to kill, and to do what? To destroy. If he can get you to just not be clear on the truth, then you'll be in that zone whereby today is, oh, hoo-hoo. And then tomorrow is, oh, hoo-hoo. Who am I? Who am I? Who are you? Let's turn to Romans in chapter 6. Romans in chapter 6, from verse 6. Someone died, something died. Let's look in. Romans in chapter 6, from verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was what? Crucified, where? With him, with Christ Jesus. Now, Paul was adducing this, was giving this, was expressing this as a follow-up to what he said earlier in verse 1. It says, shall we then, because it's under grace, shall we then continue in sin that what? Grace may what? Abound? It says what? God forbid. Or certainly not. How shall we that are what? Dead to sin do what? Live therein what? Any longer. It says, here's why you should know that that shouldn't be what trails your life or is magnified in your life. It says, knowing this, that our old man was what? Crucified with him, that the body of sin might be what? Done away with. Or another version says, might be what? Destroyed, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, or we should no longer what? Serve sin. The body of sin done away with. The sum total of that nature, based on the nature and the entrails, based on the nature, this old sin nature, and all its manifestations, all its guises and appearances, and everything that it made us do, was done away with, because the old man was nailed, was crucified with Christ. And we should no longer serve sin, henceforth no longer serve sin. I want to encourage us because, as always, time's never my friend. Hallelujah. But I want to encourage us. Like Apostle Paul, I beseech you by the mercies of God, endeavor to jump in again. I know you've done it severally and several times, but dive in again, friends, into Romans in chapter 6. Take the whole book. We're ardent students of God's word here, but jump into Romans 6 and see the liberation that you have already in Christ Jesus. As you pore over the word, the scriptures, as you meditate in this portion and beyond, see, recognize, appreciate the fullness of what God has done. Notice the sense of the tenses. Notice what the apostle is pouring out with his heart, with everything that he's got in there, to tell you about what your reality now is. 6:14. It's a lot. I'm just going to, just a couple. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under what? Not under law, but you're under what now? You're under grace. So there's no longer no dominion. Sin does not have dominion, does not have rule, reign, control over you any longer. Verse 14. If I have it. Okay, that was 14. How about 18? And having been set free from sin, you what? You became slaves of what? Of righteousness. And it's on and on because of time. Look at 22. But now, having been set free, and you'll notice, having been set free, you were made free. Having been set free and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end what? Everlasting life, and on and on and on. So why is it then? Let's get it. It's not a dual nature. The reality called new is the new nature you have in Christ based on him coming to dwell in your heart, in your life, in your spirit. How do I put this, Lord? Let's look at 7:5, chapter 7, Romans. For when we were in the flesh. Did you see that? For when we were in the flesh, the sinful, you know what? Passions, it says in New King James. I like that from the old King James Version. You know how he puts it? It says, when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were what? By the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. This motions of sins, if I can describe it, is that which left imprints, pathways, whatever it is in our what? Soulish aspects, in our minds. When you got saved, who got renewed, who got reborn? Your spirit. You didn't lose your mind all of a sudden. You didn't forget who you were all of a sudden. Forgot your name, history, or anything relating to you. Your mind remained. And your body, well, as far as I could tell after I got saved, remains the same. The best way I can describe it, and I'm not saying I'm doing the best job here, I'm just speaking as by the Spirit, as He leads me, based on what I have. The imprints, the pathways in your mind, which sometimes the enemy tries to throw those things up so that they seem so real to you and you can't help yourself. Because guess what? When you were in the world, when you were in the flesh, you couldn't help yourself but walk that way. You couldn't help yourself but live that way. But now you are changed. But now you're new. But now you've been transformed. But there's still entrails. I don't know how best to describe. There's still some, in our memory, some. Whether you call it habits or things and whatnot, it's still synapses to the brain. I don't know how, I'm not a medical expert, but you still have memory. You still have habits that seem, notice my words, seem compulsive. Almost as if you can't help yourself because the enemy throws it up so real, it looks so riveting. But if you would know, realize by God's word that He broke that thing and set you free and gave you new life on the inside, you don't have to cooperate with that anymore. You don't have to live that way anymore. You're free. You're free. You're free. So our minds, what do I do with this mind of mine? Are some things buried in the subconscious? Question. What do I do? What do I do? I want to state and encourage, it's a popular portion and passage we know well. I want us to turn there. Romans in chapter 12. Same book, chapter 12. Here's how breaking free shows up in the experience in our lives. Romans 12. From verse 1, I was tempted to go over to verse 2, but let's look at verse 1. Because now I want us to see a timely word for those two aspects, the body and the mind. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by what? The mercies of God, that you do what? You present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You present your bodies. Not anybody else's body. Your own body. You present. What does that look like? What does that look like? Some have said, well, one unique thing about a living sacrifice is that it's liable to what? To crawl off the altar. And then, oh, okay. So I guess it's okay. But the apostle here is telling us, this is what you do. Why? For me, this gut meaning had resonated when I understood the expression in 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says what? Know ye not that your body is what? The temple of what? Of who? The Holy Spirit. Who is where? In you. Whom you have of what? Of God. It says, and you are what? Not your own. You are not your own. You are not your own. You were bought with what? With a price. Therefore, because you were bought with a price, therefore do what? Glorify God in your body and your spirit, what? Which are the Lord's. So we glorify him. So I do it with glee. I do it with joy. And what can help in that doing? What can aid in that presentation of my body as a living sacrifice? Verse 2. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Whatever that issue is, whatever that condition may be, whatever that situation in which you may find yourself is, notice that there will always be the worldview, how the world views it, what the world's definitions and culture's definition and all of that. But we don't go by any of that. We go by what? What God's word says and reveals about us, about you. And of a truth, as it says in 8:1, there is what? Therefore, now no condemnation to those who are where? In Christ. Because guess what? When it says the motions, it says when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, when we were in the flesh. But we're no longer in the flesh. Now we are what? In the spirit. We've been set free. We've been set free. Free indeed. So, it's breaking free because you are free indeed. That's the basis. You've been set free already. It's about seeing that, recognizing that, knowing that, appreciating that, and then walking in that reality. How? By his spirit within. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world or what the world says, but be what? Transformed. Which is the word metamorpho in the Greek, speaks of metamorphosis. Be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Renewing the mind. What's the best way? Can you shout it loud, sister? I don't know who you were. The word. Why is the word instructive? Why is it the word? Hebrews 4:12, because the self-same word, thank you, brother, is what? Is what? Described as what? Is what? Quick and powerful, sharper than what? Any two-edged sword, and has function. It does what? Piercing into what? The dividing asunder, or the division of the what? The soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So whatever those things are, that feelings or thoughts and sensations, whatever it is, as with, is able to distinguish, is able to clarify, is able to throw it up and let you know that you have power. Yes. You have power over that. Yes. No matter how deep-seated, no matter how rooted it may seem, notice my terms. Because if I could say it simply, I'm sorry, I can't necessarily explain to you the rubrics of, I can't remember if we have time, but know God and know what God has done for you. If I can sum it, you're free. That's why it's by the word. The word not only exposes our innermost thoughts and desires, the word has life-changing dynamic power that brings about transformation. So how should I approach God's word? How do we do this? As concerns transformation, which comes by renewing the mind, how do I approach God's word? Number one, you approach the word with the understanding and the recognition and the realization that the entirety of the word is inspired by God. Is God inspired? So that we can't treat the word with just levity. Oh, I'll go in. I'll pay sometimes. Oh, no, I'll not go in. We're dogged. Can I use that word? We're adamant. We're intentional in our approach. Depending on the Holy Spirit. We purpose to meditate, to spend time. It's like a mirror. Let me see who I am. Let me understand who I am. Let me understand who He has made me. Because I'm free and I'm supposed to walk free. This isn't about judgment or putting down or whatnot. This is just about believers knowing who they are and triumphing and being joyful and rejoicing. And being rid. It's inspired. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Number two, that it set the word sets forth the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It is a clear expression of God's heart to you. That the word of God is true, just, holy, pure, and relevant. You must see God's word as relevant to you, for your life, for now. This is not just theories or theorems or things like that. This is life. The word is life. And I give myself over because I recognize that. Relevant. This day and age, even in the body of Christ at large. I don't think I can remember an era when more than ever the word of God is sought to be downplayed. And then we have arguments about, is it inspired, is it not inspired, what part is inspired, what part? No, God's word is true. God's word is true. And it calls for my surrender to His heart. In accepting the word, in agreeing with God, and in submission to the word. Allow the word to influence you, influence your heart, your thinking, your mindset, predispositions. Because sometimes we carry some of that and we're trying to get in and then we're putting our reading or just based on where we are and just say, okay, no, allow God's word to influence you so that if it says do not be conformed, then your purpose is to what? Not be conformed to the pattern of this world. If it says be kind to one another, tender-hearted, then you purpose intentionally to be kind. Not based on the fact that it's not you, but you know who you are within by His Spirit, and you purpose to do that. So it's about doing the word. Sometimes we get in there and say, let me renew my mind, let me renew my mind, let me put the word in there and cram it in there. And it's not, that's, it doesn't come by that way primarily. No. It's about allowing the influence of truth, of divine life, to percolate your being, your mind, your thinking, everything about you. Your disposition changes. I used to be, and there's no time, so I'll flesh it out some other time. So I had serious issues with anger. Someone says, you? Yes, me. I used to be very angry as a teenager. I'd suffer things. I'm not going to go into it now, but I used to be very angry and mad. And it's the type that does stuff to people. When I met Jesus, came by grace, gone into the Word, and saw things that, I'm like, okay, of His own will, He gave birth to me. And the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God, because I've seen that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So anger and wrath doesn't work that righteousness. I was like, wow. And then it says, goes further, James 1. You can put it down, James 1 from verse 18 downwards. It says, oh, be a doer of the word, and not what? Not a hearer only. Deceiving who? The church? No. Deceiving the pastors? No. Deceiving yourself. It's like a man who looks in his face in the mirror, and then once he walks away, he forgets what manner of man he is. But we purpose here at Hot Rock not to forget what manner of man we are, or women we are. This is who we are. Redeemed, victorious, brand new. Amen. Eternal life, God's life within. Can I have ministers for today from the warrior class? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. If you're here this morning, and you don't know Jesus, you are not born again. You've not been born from above. You don't have divine life, the life of God within you. Today is the day of salvation. Don't miss out. You have an appointment. Make your way forward without fear, without trepidation. If you're here and you say there are aspects, areas in my life, I need freedom. I need breakthrough on certain challenges, whether the challenges, habits, dispositions, mindsets, whatever it is, or you want someone to join their faith with you, these men and women of faith and power who love the Lord are set and ready to minister by the Spirit of the living God. It behooves you to take advantage. Join up in faith and see change. See transformation. Thank you, Lord. If there is a need for healing, struggling in an area as it concerns your body, as it concerns your mind, or anything for that matter, come up now. Don't delay. It's for cause. You say, oh, well, it's not for me. Yeah, I must say this. By whatever name, whether it's confusion, fogginess, MS, whatever, come forward this morning. It's for cause. And do not say to yourself, I have received ministry diversely, and so I enjoin you by faith. Step forward. Hallelujah. 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 Can we all stand? Every soul. Everyone in this auditorium. Let's all rise. The Spirit of the living God is here. Do not be bashful. I encourage you. Do not be shy. Do not be afraid. Do not be in trepidation. Don't let the enemy hold you back in there. It's for cause, it's for reason. Need healing in your body? Step up now. Run, rush, come forward. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But you say, Lord, I want to know you more. You say, Lord, that I might know you and the power of your resurrection. Experientially in my life, come forward this afternoon. It's for reason, it's for cause. Lastly, you say, I'm not sure. As far as salvation, I'm not sure. I'm not confident. The assuredness is not there. I'm not sure. For whatever reason, and it doesn't matter what that is, come forward this afternoon. Take advantage. Take advantage. He's here. He's here. And you're here, you say you want deliverance. Deliverance. I state from whatever. Deliverance. Whether you know what it is, you don't know what it is, you have an idea, you don't have an idea, come forward this afternoon and join up here. Freedom is yours in the name of Jesus. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed, and you manifest that here and now, walking in your victory. Or you say, I just want to be more, see triumph in my life more and more and more on a daily. Come forward as well. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Poured out. Shed abroad in our hearts by your Spirit. Thank you for your power, your life at work within us. Thank you, Father, for the freedom that is ours in you. Thank you, Lord, we're free and we're walking free to your praise and glory. Thank you, Lord, because we do not labor under condemnation. We labor in your love, knowing that we are accepted and that you paid the price in full and we're free. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you so much for your time. We're done with the service. Y'all have a truly blessed week ahead. Take advantage if you need to be here. If not, have a wonderful week. You're all blessed. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.